The human brain is already one of the most malleable, resilient systems in the universe. For example, Jason Paget has what neurologists call acquired savant syndrome. A traumatic brain injury turned him into a math genius. Every day, in the most ordinary daily activities, running water in the sink, making coffee, he sees mathematically. He describes it in his memoir, Struck by Genius.
Imagine, like, when everything moves, instead of it looking smooth, it looks like individual, like, discrete picture frames coming in. So it's kind of like hitting pause on your TV and watching frame by frame, but in real time. And it's so geometric. It's just absolutely amazing. Or watching water go down the drain, any type of spiral, is instead of looking like it's this smooth spiral like it used to look like, it looks like these little straight tangent lines around the edge, which is like a recursive form of the Pythagorean theorem. It's like taking a squared plus b squared equals c, but then you re-input c as a in the next little triangle, and b, say, for instance, always equals 1, and that creates one type of spiral. And how those numbers vary make it spiral, you know, faster or spiral out longer, you know, that type of thing.
So that's what you see just when you're
constantly
turning on the water in the sink?
Everywhere. Yeah, it's constant. And it never turns off. And it's beautiful.
Jason, you weren't born with the ability to see the world mathematically.
Can you
describe what happened?
Yeah, I was at a little karaoke bar and had some friends there. And I went there and I sang a song. And then I ordered a Coke and then I paid for the Coke. And there was two other guys that were singing karaoke there. And as we left, they left behind us. And I just wasn't paying any attention to them. And they attacked me from behind. I didn't see it coming. I just saw this bright flash of white light and felt this, you know, really deep thud. And the next thing I knew was I was on my knees trying to figure out, why am I on my knees? Where am I? What's going on? Why am I getting hit from all these different directions? And I remember thinking, I'm going to die right now. And that fight or flight kicked in. And then I had this feeling of, I just want to hurt one of these guys before I die. And I grabbed one of their legs and I bit him on the leg so hard that it actually cracked my front teeth and pulled him down on the ground. And then the other guy that was behind me just started hitting me in the back of the head and kicking me in the back of the head and in the back. And they hadn't said anything. And this had been going on for like a minute. And I even looked up at people and said, help. And then I said, gosh, you know, darn it. Only some other words, help. And not one person did anything. One guy just took his hands, like put them up in the air and said, uh-uh, and then turned around and walked away. And so that part was really hard because nobody helped. And then finally one of them said, give me your jacket. And I threw my jacket off, jumped off his friend. They grabbed it and they ran away.
Wow. And at what point in your recovery did you realize that your perception had changed?
It was very, very soon, right afterwards. In fact, there was a hospital right across the street. I went there, and they said, you have, you know, a profound concussion and a bleeding kidney, and they gave me pain medicine, sent me home. And I remember thinking, this pain medicine is just wild stuff because everything looks so weird. But then, you know, the next day, the pain medicine had completely worn off, and then I knew that something for sure was up with me. Uh-huh. These other bad things came with it. Like, it was very just traumatic. I didn't realize it was post-traumatic stress, but I mean, I literally holed up in my house for almost 3 years. I would leave basically just to get food. Some other things came with it too, like OCD. Never had OCD. And then suddenly being so aware of everything, it's like constantly being aware of so much coming in that you start noticing, oh, that guy just touched his nose and then he just grabbed a doorknob and now he wants to shake my hand. And you're noticing all this, and when you start noticing that, there's germs everywhere, so it creates this massive amount of anxiety, and it just gets worse and worse. It got so bad that I was, like, Lysoling my money and then putting it in the microwave for 30 seconds to, like, kill the germs on it, washing my hands till they bled, you know, almost. Eventually, I got some treatment for that to make it better. And then I get these uncontrolled muscle movements throughout my body to this day. They just vibrate, like, kind of feels like a cell phone vibrating.
It's not some weird Cinderella story. You got attacked, you woke up, and hey, you're a genius.
Right,
There's some pretty bad parts, too.
Right.
What were you like before the injury?
Before, life was definitely shallow. It did have this kind of blissful ignorance to it, you know, because all I really did was just goof off, chase girls, go out to bars all the time.
You were a party guy.
Total party guy, just goof off, yeah, you know. That's how life went from like 16 to about 31, 32.
Did you like math?
No, I hated it. I was one of those kids that's like, when are you going to use this? And what does this apply to, you know? And I couldn't stand it. Had no interest in it. Really had no interest in school even. I copied a lot off my friends, that type of thing. Skipped a lot of classes.
Wow. I mean, you wound up going to school and getting a degree in math. What was it like at first being in a math class? I mean, was it hard to translate for you between what you saw and what the math teacher would say?
Sometimes it was. I had a great teacher. What happened is I was at like a Subway drawing, and I had a guy that was a physicist. He started talking to me and said, "Boy, what you're drawing there looks really mathematical." And he's like, "What are you taking in school?" And I was like, "Oh, I had pre-algebra in high school, and I had was just layman terms to describe it." Which is, I think, the reason why some people like this is because it's easier for everybody to understand because it's not in these technical terms. And he said, "Well, boy, that's great, but to prove it, you really need to learn how to say things in equations." And he convinced me to go take algebra at just a community college. And I went, and as soon as I got in there, they graphed an equation. And that was when I was like, wait a second, these equations are talking about geometry? Because I didn't even know you could graph an equation. And they were like, my teacher was like, yes. And I'm like, well, then we're talking about the same thing. I'm just doing, you know, math in its natural form, which is geometry, and you're doing it in this form, which can prove it.
There's this other gorgeous phrase in the book. You said that you describe this as seeing the mathematical grace of the universe.
Literally. I mean, for instance, like f of the x equals x squared makes a, if you graph that in math, right, it makes a little parabola, like a U shape, you know, opening upwards. And if we do negative x squared, it turns that up. And when you put a negative in front of equation, it takes the shape that it's describing and just flips it upside down, makes a reflection of it. And so when you throw a ball in the air, it makes this little parabolic curve. You know, we use equations to describe the geometry of what's going on in the universe. But what's real, x squared or the parabola? And it's the parabola that's real. And no matter what we're doing in math, we're always describing geometry. And literally, there is nothing that doesn't have geometry. Even empty space, nothing is geometry.
You know, I've heard people say, mathematicians or physicists, that the universe is made of math.
Mm-hmm.
I never really got it until now.
Until you think of it as geometry. And what's so cool is geometry is the one thing that everything has. I always ask teachers, come up with something that doesn't have geometry. And they can't. Even thought is a brainwave. Even empty space is geometry. In fact, it's the one thing that you need nothing to have. Absolutely nothing is geometry, and geometry is equations. So by having nothing, you have every equation in existence. Isn't that crazy? There's no beginning. There's no end. It just is. It's the one thing that is.
Do you feel blissed out?
A lot of times, like we're driving, my daughter will be like, "Dad, it's time to slow down," you know, because I'm looking at this cloud or this tree and just going, "Oh man, can you see that?" Or wow, you know, or water, especially with light bouncing off of water, or if there's a rainbow, the rainbows are just awesome because literally that is pie.
Wow. What do you now think about the human mind because of what's happened to you? I mean, do you think this ability was dormant in you from the beginning and the injury just kind of woke it up?
I think there's a lot of things dormant in us that we don't even realize. Like if somebody throws you a ball and you catch it, you know, you calculated the gravitational field acceleration due to gravity, you know, how long it takes the signal to get from your brain to your fingers to close on the ball. If you were to crunch that as a math equation, it's a serious, you know, equation, yet you just catch the ball. So we're always constantly doing serious math, and our brain just does it naturally.
So that almost makes it sound like maybe your brain slowed down enough to be able to see
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more going on around us by far that we can't see or perceive in any way than what we really do see. I mean, like there's a trillion neutrinos shooting every square centimeter of us every second. And I mean, if you could see all the stuff going on, it would just look like a jumbled mess. So it's almost like our bodies have evolved to filter out all of these other things so that we can actually get something done.
Right.
You know?
I was going to say, it must be hard. I mean, it sounds a little overwhelming be aware of it all the time.
It is. There are times when I wish I could just turn it off because I want to just sleep or I just want to relax.
I'm curious, if I came to you and said, some neurologists have figured out what to change in my brain so that I could see the world the way you do,
mm-hmm.
would you suggest I go for it, or would you say,
And have all the drawbacks? Even then, I would have to say, you know what? If you're willing for the drawbacks, if you're willing to take it, I wouldn't give it up. There's no way I would give it up. Absolutely not. Even though it's sometimes really annoying and these bad things have come with it, the good far outweighs the bad. Mm-hmm. So I would not give it up, and I would tell everybody else, go for it as long as you're willing to put up with the rest.
Thank you so much for talking. It was a pleasure.
You too. Thank you very much.
Jason Padgett's memoir is called Struck by Genius.